Mike mentioned he's been involved with one of our ministries for the last 2 years, and it's been a while. That, like everyone else, our ministries are undergoing a lot of change, but I'll share with that briefly. So I just want to tell you guys a little bit about what Envision Providence is and what we do and why we do it. And so, excellent, there's some slides up behind me. So Envision Providence, we're connected with a denomination called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So you can look that up if you're the kind of person that like wants to know what that's about. But we're just sort of traditional evangelical. We're nothing that would make your hackles get up or anything. Our goal is to spread the gospel in and around Providence, Rhode Island, the greater New England area. And in particular, we want to develop missional leaders. So our goal at Envision Providence is not only to spread the gospel, but it's to do it in such a way and to partner with people who will then go forth and repeat that, right? Whether that's growing the church in Providence, or whether that's coming to Attleboro, or whether that's going to Maryland or California or overseas, wherever that is. So one of our key things is we want to develop missional leaders, people that are going to go forth, strengthen churches, plant churches, spread the gospel. We always work. So Envision is actually, I'm connected to a larger organization just called Envision, and there's actually 21 sites around the world, and every site is in an urban area, and we do urban areas on purpose, and we do key urban areas. I'm going to talk to you about why we're in Providence in a couple minutes, but we're always in places where the gospel isn't, or places where we see the Lord moving, right? So we do that in a lot of different ways. We bring short-term trips from churches oftentimes. So we had, I think we had 14 churches that had planned to come this year. Due to COVID, we had one. The one that was able to come, they were going to bring 20 people, but they brought four. But in any case, we were still able to do a lot of ministry. We're already booking teams for next summer, Lord willing. We'll be something like normal, or at least travel will be a little more permitted. So we bring in short-term trips, and then we do internships. So we do internships with high school folks, maybe that need community hours, like community service hours, and then we bring in lots of people to do internships, young adults that are just sort of trying to figure out, does the Lord have a call on their life for ministry or missions, or what's that look like? So this year, right now, we're planning on bringing in four interns and maybe a fifth to do ministry alongside of us. We do residencies, which are just a longer-term internship, like about a two-year process. And through all of that, we try to weave leadership development into everything we do. There's a picture of my family, I think. There's my family. You can see them. They're all back there. Sometimes I go places and I'm the only one, or sometimes I bring one. So that's cool that we set the pew record with 14 today. I told you we work in key urban areas. I want to tell you a little bit about Providence. You guys, we travel all around at least the Northeast. I'm talking about what we do. We've been as far south as Maryland and as far west as Ohio so far. We'll get further, but we're a relatively new ministry. But I want to tell you about why we're in Providence. And this might not be a shock to you guys, but Providence is one of the least Christian cities in America. The Barna is a polling organization. And they did a poll 4 or 5 years ago, and they said that when they ask, if you ask people, are you Christian? Lots of people just say yes. But then if you really drill down on, do you pray? Do you attend some kind of service? Do you give a tithe or give offerings? Do you think Jesus is important? Do you think it's important to share your faith? You get pretty wildly different answers throughout that spectrum. And if you ask those drill down questions, Providence is one of the least Christian cities in America. And a couple years ago, they did this, and Providence was the fourth least Christian. It's like backwards. It's the number four, but it's like golf, right? You don't want to be. Anyway, now Providence is the third least Christian city in America. So it won't surprise you to see there lots of cities in the Northeast, plus a couple on the West Coast, right? So that's why we're here. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples as he was getting ready to depart, he said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." I don't have time to unpack that all today, but we believe that lots of churches focus on the local area, and that's good and proper and right, and I'm glad, praise the Lord. And I think most of us remember that overseas, we need to go to the darkest regions. But sometimes we miss those middle areas. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how many, some of you might live in Providence, but it can be easy sometimes to live in your circle you live in, but then not maybe make that step over to what I think of as Judea or Samaria. So that's why we're in Providence. I've got a picture of a short-term team. This is the team that came this summer. It was just four women. They helped us with one of our ministries. One of our ministries is a community garden. And this church, they've made multiple trips to Providence. The next picture is a picture of our ESL ministry. So we teach English as a second language. We've had about 50 or 60 students. We run usually about 10 to 15 students any given night, mostly from Dominican Republic, Cambodia, China, Hong Kong, Mexico, and Peru. But we've got about 15 or 20 countries represented altogether. Another one of our ministries is we do a kids club, and that's where we connected with Mike. So our kids club, anyone here is familiar with Awana, pre-COVID, we were kind of like a non-traditional Awana club. We used Awana curriculum and did a lot of the stuff along with Awana. Post-COVID, we've had to kind of, like everyone else, we've had to try to figure out how we're going to do this. And so we're no longer meeting in the big weekly group. It's more like a small cell, like the 10 or 15 kids that live right in our neighborhood that we're still connecting with as we can. So this is a camping trip we went on a couple weeks ago with some of the older kids. Our other ministry I already mentioned is a community garden. Our community garden is really cool. I think if you like gardening, you'll think it's cool. If you're not into gardening, it's boring. But we've got 52 plots. We're building out a greenhouse right now. And it's mostly connecting us with refugees from in and around Congo. So Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, there's a couple others there, Tanzania, Malawi. So most of our 52 plots, probably 40 some, are rented out by Congolese recent immigrants and refugees. So I don't know if anyone here other than Mike has ever been to our site. I would invite all of you down to our site. We're at 184 Early Street in Providence. I've got connection cards in the back. I'd love to talk with you guys after the service. But we have really great, great plans for our site. The Lord has been blessing our ministry. And I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see the Lord moving, when people pray, and then there's a response. I get excited, and that's something I want to do. So that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about Envision Providence. So we've got plans to take an old, crummy building that we're kind of occupying right now, and we've already built out the garden. We want to build out a basketball court, a jungle gym, and some offices and some living spaces. Because right now, the only formal employees are my wife and I, and the Allens are going to be coming on board very soon. And but I've got hopes and dreams for a much larger organization that the Lord will use. I'm trying to just give you just a little bit of a taste of what Envision Providence is. If you want to find out more, there are usually three ways I talk to people about how you can be involved. Prayer, it has to start with prayer. I love churches that are the praying churches, the churches that call me and say, how can we be praying for you? So if you want to pray for us or hear more, please, talk to me after the service. But you can sign up if you're a Facebook or Instagram person. We've got those things. We've got a website. It's kind of in stasis right now because no one knows what's going on with COVID. So it might not be the most up-to-date way to follow us. But you connect with us that way. You can sign up for our email newsletter. The next way I always talk about, I talk about praying, giving, and going. If anything that I say here today sounds like you're interested, I'd love to talk with you about being a financial partner. And then going. Obviously, you guys, it's right around the corner for you. So for a church like this, this is kind of like your Judea and Samaria, right? It's not the ends of the earth, but it might not be your neighbor either. So I'd love to talk with you about how you could be involved. Mike is really one of the key volunteers that we have for our kids club. And we're always looking for volunteers. Everything we do is volunteer based. So I'd always like to talk to you guys about being there in person. So with that, I think that's my like 5-minute teaser on what Envision Providence is, and I'd love to talk with you more after the service. Thank you. So what do I do next? Just give the mic to Ryan. All right, so this I'll give him a 1-minute intro. This is Ryan Allen. Ryan is a gentleman and his wife who will be coming to serve alongside of us. He's currently doing fundraising right now and is almost done, praise the Lord. It's been a long, arduous process to fundraise through COVID, but he's doing fundraising now, and hopefully this spring he and his family will be moving up to live with us and minister with us in Vision. So
not
with that,
in the same house, though.
Not in the same house, Lord willing. But we're not going to have everything in common. All right, thank you.
So am I using this or am I using this? This?
Wireless.
Okay. So I can move around and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wild and crazy.
I don't know about that. All right. Well, it's great to be here with you all. Good morning. As Rob said and Mike said, my name is Ryan Allen. And like I said, I'm honored to be here and share with you. If you would just let's take a moment and pray with me before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, what your word has to say. Your Bible is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in this chapter of Matthew. Give me the words to speak, Lord. Let my words not be my own, but be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I wanted to share with you about some of my story and how I responded to the Lord's call in my life to serve in full-time ministry with Envision Providence. But I also wanted to encourage everyone here on how we all need to be obedient to the commands that God gives us in His Word. The scripture we will be looking at today, which I didn't notice, I guess you guys are going through Matthew, which is, that's why Mike asked me to talk on this passage here. So our scripture is Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11, if you all want to get to that. It says, starting in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So there's a lot in just those, you know, four verses. So I wanted to kind of break it down in a couple different sections. So when we look at that first part of the verse, of the first verse, Jesus commands us to ask. Now, as believers, how do we ask? What ways do we ask? We pray, right? We pray. We communicate with God. And through the Bible, we are given many times in the Word to pray. And we can even go back to even to the Old Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great unsearchable things you do not know." Also in Philippians 4, verse 6, this is one that everybody's probably heard many, many times. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So in every situation, we are to ask, we are to pray, we are to be in constant communion and talking with our Father who is in heaven. And lastly, the verse that I've chosen is 1 John 5, verse 14. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us." Now in that verse in 1 John, it says, if we ask anything according to our will, no, it's His will. It's His will that we have to be asking in accordance with. As believers, we always have to make sure we are praying and asking according to God's will and not our own desires. So kind of to go back into a little bit more about me, I grew up in the church my whole life. I'm one of those crazy pastor's kids that you've maybe known over the years. But actually, just not a pastor's kid. Actually, both my grandfathers were pastors too, so I have like that double craziness in me. So a little over 6 years ago, I had a life-changing experience. I had a prodigal son moment. For about 8 years of my life, I had walked away from the Lord. And not just, kind of walked away, but I walked away hard. I was in defiant rebellion. I knew what was right, and I just decided to move away and not listen to what God had for me. I desire to please my own desires, not please the Lord's. But God, like in the story of the prodigal son, it was not me that ran to God, but God pursued me and ran back to me. And he brought me to a place of brokenness. And in that moment, I remember not understanding why God was being so harsh with me, why he was breaking me. But it reminded me of a verse in Hebrews that I had always cling to. It's Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you." Verse 6, "Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." So in that time of my life, it was hard, but I understood that God pursued me. He chastened me. He brought me to a place of brokenness so I could see my need for him. So shortly after this time in my life, I started to pray more, and I started to talk with God in a way I had never had in my life. And the main reason was because I was pursuing what God wanted for my life, not what I wanted for my life. It was a more of an intimate prayer life that I had, and I still have to this day. I started to ask God what he wanted from me. Not long after that, God put a desire in my heart to serve him full-time in ministry. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." This verse has been so precious to me over the last couple years. I always read it as, if I take delight in God, he'll give me everything I want. But it's really amazing when we truly surrender to the Lord and his will for our lives, our desires become his desires. Now let me ask you all this. Are you asking the Lord for what he wants for your life? Now I wanted to look at the next part of our text in Matthew 7. In the same verse, Jesus says, "Seek and you will find." How can we seek God? One of the definitions of seek is to attempt or desire to attain something. To attempt or desire to obtain something. I wanted to share a story, as I was putting my notes and what I wanted to share with you guys. I was thinking of a story about seeking, So my favorite hobby, and actually this time right now is my favorite time of year, hunting. I'm a big bow hunter. I love to bow hunt. And right now it's actually the rut. I don't know if anybody knows what the rut is, but right now is the rut, so it's a great time to be in the woods. So anyways, a couple years back, I was bow hunting, and I shot a doe. And what I always do is after I shoot them, especially if I just see them run away, I don't see where they went, I'll always give them a couple hours, and then I'll go out and track them. So this particular night, I guess I didn't get a very good shot on her because she had run where I couldn't find her for a while. So I took that, it was dark too, it was night, and I started searching, and I was looking, following the blood trail, and as I was going, the woods behind the property where I hunt, about 5 years before this, it had been lumbered out. So there was all these real heavy, thick thickets and thistles and thorns everywhere. It was really hard to get through. So I probably spent I was out there till after midnight searching. I was crawling, I was going through all this brush and a real heavy thicket. And I must have gone, it was probably over a half a mile as where I was going through this woods and terrain and stuff. And I just remember I was just pursuing. I was like, I have to find it. You know, I have to find this deer, you know. That's what I was always taught is when you shoot something, you make sure you find it so it doesn't go to waste. So, you know, I was pursuing it. And like I said, it took me a long time, but I pursued it with greatness and stuff. So, so finally found the deer, after many, 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 many hours. And I think I remember my wife, you know, I'm coming in, she's like, what the heck, where have you been? You know, it's like after midnight. But it's good to say that about seeking, searching for something. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. As believers, we are called to seek Jesus. We are called to seek him and his will for our lives. And should we do that haphazardly or with laziness? No. God says in the verse I just read in Jeremiah that we are to seek him with all of our heart, which means when we should seek him with fervor and with intensity. We have to pursue the Lord and desire to be close to him. Seeking the Lord is a moving act. It is active. We have to constantly seek him. We have to constantly be asking him about his will for our lives and what he requires of us. When the Lord put the desire in my heart to serve him in full-time ministry, I was actively seeking for ways to serve him and seeking what he had for me, what was the end game. So in 2016, at our local church, there was an opportunity for me to become an intern youth pastor at our local church. And it was a great learning experience, but the Lord quickly closed that door. That was not what he had for me. But again, I want to stress that in the seeking and in trying to figure out what God wants for our lives, we have to, like I said, it's active. We have to constantly be serving him in different ways. Yes, we have to be asking for him in prayer for his will, but he also requires us to actively seek him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So once we seek him and we find him, everything else will fall into place for his will. So in 2017, my wife, Courtney, and I both started to have a moving in our spirit. It was very neat that it happened in both of our lives. It wasn't just me. She was also, and I remember the first time we had that conversation where we both knew that the Lord was preparing both of us for something, not just myself, but for her too. And the whole year before that, a couple years before that, I knew that the Lord was calling me for something, but then the Lord was calling her as well. So we asked in prayer what the Lord had for us. But he didn't answer us right away, because sometimes that's what God does. He doesn't, you know, always give us what we want right away. So we began, again, actively seeking what he would have for us. And the church that we attend now, and the church is the church I grew up in my whole life. And just recently, a couple years ago, we did not have a ministry for children. And having young kids, it was important for us to have a ministry that our kids could be involved with. But we had become frustrated because there was not a ministry specifically for our kids. So I went on seeking God and his will. And I remember this was one of the only times in my life that I ever heard an audible voice of God, from God. I just got off the phone with my mom, and I was complaining about, oh, we don't have anything for the kids. Somebody needs to do something, you know. Somebody needs to, you know, step up and create a ministry for the children at our church. And right when I hung up the phone, I heard this very faint little voice, you know, say, "Ryan, you do it." I said, "Oh, what? Are you sure?" You know, so that's what, like, so God called me at that moment to start a children's ministry at our church. So we started the Gospel Project for kids. And it was a great learning experience. But we knew, again, the Lord had something else for us, for both of us. Then in July of 2018, we were asked to be chaperones on a missions trip to Providence, Rhode Island. And I always remember this when we were first asked by our youth pastor at our church. I was like, why are we doing a missions trip in Providence? You know, it's like when you think a missions trip, you think of, like, you know, going, you know, someplace out of the country. So sure enough, we went, and God moved so greatly in our lives just in that first week, that 1 week we were there. We saw the need in the city. And we saw specifically how our spiritual gifts God had given us were needed in Providence and at the ministry there at Envision Providence. So we prayed about it. We asked God if this was what He had for us. And afterward, we prayed about it, and it didn't happen right away, but God opened the door, and we were accepted at Envision Providence to be for a 2-year commitment. And I say this every time I talk to people about my call to Providence, is that I told you before, I'm a country boy. I like to hunt, and I like to be out in the woods. And I always tell people I would never wanted to live in the city. But, like I said before, God changes our desires to His desires when we seek after Him and when we delight in Him. So the last thing Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, in that first verse, He says, tells us to knock. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. After we seek after the Lord and His will, we find it, if we knock, He opens the door. And for us, He opened the door for us to come to Providence. But we have to be willing. We have to be obedient to walk through that door. So many times in our lives, we ask for God for His will. We ask for God for something. And then when He gives us the answer, it's like, "Are you sure, God? Are you sure that's your will? Are you sure that's your will?" But we know that's His will because He opened the door. And that's why my wife and Courtney and I are here. We know God's will, what God's will is, and we are walking through the door to Providence to work with Envision because that's what He has called us to do. Which brings me to the last part of Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" As believers, God's plan and will for our lives is not to punish us or make us miserable. It is for our good. But He doesn't let us go through it alone. He promised us to go through with us through it. There are a couple of verses that I wanted to share with you guys that show us that promise. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Joshua 1, 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The most important thing we always have to remember as believers is that we have to remember that our daily and primary goal as believers is to bring glory to God in our lives and to share His love with others. So in closing, I just wanted to thank you all for the opportunity to share with you God's calling on my life, that He's put on my life and my family's life as we prepare to move to Providence, Rhode Island, and answer His call as we serve with Envision Providence. Thank you.